Yeah, sounds good.
Right.
Hold on, actually, I just plugged a couple things in. What up?
What up, homie?
What's happening with you?
Okay, I'll have farm.
Oh, good, yeah. Hold on, you're only in one ear now for some reason.
Only in one ear now.
The fuck? Yeah. How's that?
Fuck. Yeah, it's perfect, yeah.
Boom. Yeah. Any crack?
Fuck all, dude.
You don't have your video on.
Hold on. Where's that one? There you go.
I'm looking at a wall.
Nice done, nice painting.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
What? Sorry.
What up?
Fuck all. God, I'm great looking. Jesus Christ, I'm great.
I love when you move the iPad and the mic goes like that in my ear. You're a horrible cunt.
Thanks, buddy.
Stop moving the fucking thing.
You asked to see me.
Stop moving it like.
Hold on, wait, let me set something there so I can just be fucking lazy and comfortable.
The car and work?
Yeah. I actually better text her, not the fucking ring. Because I'm doing this. Where the fuck is she? Just recording. Any crack?
No, you.
Oh God, how's living with Mel? She fucked you out, yeah?
No, not yet. It's great. Minding the dog at the moment's paying the hole.
Whose dog is it?
My ma's.
How come?
She's in there in Lanzarote.
Very nice.
Yeah.
She's not talking.
Oh, my dad is.
Yuri, get them out of your brain.
You're a bad man.
I'm a horribly unbeing. Anyhow, what's the story?
Do you know what you're talking about now on this?
Oh God, I haven't even looked around. Cares? No one really cares about TJ Dillashaw and thing, but just talk shit and just talk about hypertrophy. Really, no one cares about TJ Dillashaw's fight. It's not until fucking July.
Well, can you even break down Anthony Joshua or do something useful?
Yeah, we chat about the AJ fight.
But I don't know about this, so you need to wow people.
I watched the fucking 3 times.
Did he win?
Did he win? Would you stop? 11th round, stoppage. He was dropped.
I know, I was watching it.
He dropped Klitschko in the 5th, he dropped Klitschko 2 times in the 11th, and then it was stopped by Klitschko on his feet on the ropes in the 11th round.
Yeah, don't be telling people I plagiarised my work.
I'm sure they guessed.
But, I don't see why that's a problem. Like, what's the point of me trying to write something when doctors do it a lot better?
Boy, I just think it's very funny.
Yeah, well, I'm dead, right?
You were trying to mug me off.
Yeah, it was funny.
It was funny, that's always my plagiarising comment.
No, it wasn't.
That fucking was hilarious.
Hey, did you see my video?
Which one?
The one about my headphones.
No.
What? Is that new? Check the Instagram story. It's hilarious.
Right. I've seen one with like 3 different heads or something.
Yeah, it's gas.
I didn't know it was a video. I thought it was just a picture. Hold on. Open your hand. Dink.
Got headphones. With a mic. So profesh.
Want people to watch us, do
you? I think it's funny.
Or hate us. Right, go on, let's get started.
Okay, I'll count
What are we looking at? 20-minute job?
Hopefully quicker.
Can I put the match on the background, actually, on silent?
What match?
At Monaco.
Oh, yeah, the other semi-final.
Yeah. There we go, let's start set up, kicking off in 5 minutes, right? So, go on, let's do this shit.
Okay, I'll count you in. You ready?
Yeah.
Remember to leave.
What are we on, episode 13 or 12?
Don't know, actually.
I'll go out to the Instagram. 13, all right. So it's about hypertrophy and shy talk. Hypertrophy and shy talk, I'm going to call it.
Oh, the Europa League semi-final. Ajax won 4-1.
4-1, did they? So that's them in the final. And then we're tomorrow. And see, Smalling and Bailly are back.
Yeah, apparently. Or, well, not Bailly. Smalling and...
No, Boy's back as well.
Oh, is he? Good.
Yeah.
Pogba might be back.
He might be, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, hold on, just text him out.
Love you, sweetie. So have you had a shit in front of her, haven't you?
Jesus, no.
No! It's a point living with them if you can't degrade them with stuff like that.
I know, she'd go nuts.
You serious?
Yeah, she's not into that.
Carl loves it. It turns her on, I think.
Nah, he doesn't like... There's no woman that turns on.
That is definitely not. What's the story? What's the new program next week? You can chat about that on this as well. Give a little snippet.
Okay, yeah. Right, go on. Three, two. Graham's gay.
Imagine that. Hey, everyone. We're back. This is episode 13. For those listening and downloading, I think our numbers actually have gone up a little bit in the last week. So thank you to anyone new, any of our existing subscribers or followers.
Shitload of downloads.
Have we really? Yeah, deadly.
Yep.
People must be doing it by mistake.
Imagine it was a video.
Imagine, because like, let's be fair, we're all right.
Yeah, I like your beard actually. So come on.
Thanks, buddy. I haven't shaved in about 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Mitten to it, but the only problem is it gets a little bit longer. I look like an upside down head because I've no hair.
Yeah, I don't know, I like it, looks good.
That's the problem, thanks. So today we're going to chat about hypertrophy and then just general shy talk about sport, MMA, the usual kind of crap that people probably skim over and go to Kieran's expert stuff for anyone who had a look at our Snapchat or Instagram story today. They'll know what I'm talking about with that little jab.
So today's plagiarized article is from... It's actually from a few different sources, just because there were so many studies, and I just kind of wanted to get a bit more of a broad description, but then try break it down as much as I can. So I put I put an article up on my website, jackedteam.com. There's a little article up there on hypertrophy. Did you read it?
Yeah, start to finish.
you really should.
I will, carry on, but I've got a job.
Did you read my fat loss one I put up?
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say you should read the fat loss one I put up.
Why would I need to read it, Kieran?
Because it's very good. Everyone needs to read it coming up to summer.
All right. No, I haven't actually. I will. Send me on the link, will you?
It's on the website. There's only two articles up.
All right. Do you know what you can do? What we'll do at the end of the podcast, we'll whack the links up on our Instagram page. Yeah. On Gym and Tonics, so people can have a read, because they'll be useful. I will check them out, though. Just been actually been quite busy in work.
Like you say this all the time, you're clearly not busy in work.
On my life, I am.
What's the story with the new hospital going in there?
It's a lot of I'm saying about that, actually. I'm going to get sacked. It's great news. Great news. It's not affecting my parking whatsoever. It's been brilliant. I don't have to be in the car for 7:30, just in the hopes of getting a spot.
Gee, I'm telling you, there's parking up. Do you know where your car park is in Basin Lane? Just come up further to my school. There's parking there every day.
It's far, isn't it?
It's an extra 100-meter walk.
Far, isn't it? Will you mind me carrying me though if I do?
My car sits out there every day and it's fine. Never gets touched.
Yeah, but you know yourself, like.
But it's a brand new car.
But I'm rolling in a Benzo, sitting in Lorenzo's.
Yeah, my car is 10 years younger than yours.
My car is 10 years prettier than yours.
That's true. Mine looks like a pint of Guinness, though.
Yours is lovely.
Beside the Guinness factory.
There you go. It's lovely.
Yeah, park up there, geez. Loads of spots.
I'll have to try because I'm getting gone to me with. So I'm actually contemplating even cycling in from my mum's.
Times must be bad. But you won't walk the extra 100 metres.
No, you want to see how illegally parked I was today in the car park. Oh, anyway, another story for another podcast. We can give out about it again. So, any crack? Did you watch the sport weekend?
I watched the fight, yeah. It was great.
It was the best boxing match I've ever seen live.
The best heavyweight boxing fight I've ever seen live. Because the only ones I can really remember were like the Tyson ones, but sure, most of them were over fairly soon.
Yeah, or else
the Lennox Lewis ones, yeah. But
Lennox Lewis fights were mostly boring. Klitschko's fights were mostly boring. Yeah. Very cautious.
It was up and down. Fifth round, absolute sixth round, amazing.
Yeah, I think, and look, they both come out of it with massive credit. Joshua's going to come out of it, arguably now. He's the biggest name in boxing now, I think.
Yeah.
The States have blown up about him. You see everyone tweeting about him and sharing snippets of videos and stuff like that on social media. Celebs and stuff like that. He's a marketable fucker as well. He's good looking. Shredded.
Really nice.
Really lovely guy as well. That's he's articulate. Sound. He's fun. He's happy. He's a dream for any companies looking that are sponsoring him.
And he's a gentleman.
And
still lives in a flat with his mom.
Yeah. And he's massively exciting as well to watch as a boxer. Yeah. He's like 19 fights, 19 KOs. See, he fought a guy. Klitschko had over three times as many fights as him. Mm. It was, that's insane.
Yeah, 60 fights he has.
Klitschko said 64. That was Josh was 19th. Like, that's mad numbers. Mm. That is crazy numbers.
But that's the thing, and it's rare you get a heavyweight fighter that's knocking people out. So now that the boxing world has one, they should really hold on to him. About 15 mil he made for that, do you reckon?
15 mil, yeah, that's not bad. Showtime, only the third time in history that both Showtime and HBO have done a co-telecast for a boxing event. The other two being Tyson Lewis and Manny Money. That's how highly thought of he is in the States. Mm. Steve Espinosa, the head of Showtime, was reading a bit of stuff about him, on him the other day. He was doing some quotes and he was saying basically they want to get him off to the States within the next 12 months. Get him kind of a fight against somewhat of a nobody, he was saying basically, and get him in with Deontay Wilder for the unification fight because both of them can talk, both of them are marketable, and it's just getting eyes on both of them to build that fight because
that's his only fight though, really, isn't it? There's no one else.
It's not. Look, if he bases himself in the UK, he could sell at Wembley against anyone at the moment, I'd say. There's unification fights. There's Joseph Parker, who's undefeated. There's Tyson Fury, when he comes back. He's back in training. He's applying for his license. He's still... You know, he's definitely coming back. He's back in training.
He's not mentally stable. He shouldn't be fighting.
No, the poor guy. God love him. There's that fight, and then there's the Deontay Wilder fight. And then you've also Dillian White, too. That'll do huge money. Based off that, Klitschko too will do huge money. There's potentially 4 to 6 fights there for him, which are massive fights. And he's the big fella at the table now, and everyone has to bow down to him.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
so be interesting knowledge.
No, fantastic performance for him. You could see the gulf in experience, purely from a boxing point of view, between the two of them. Klitschko boxed really, really well. His footwork looked phenomenal for a 41-year-old guy.
Yeah, he looked well.
Yeah, like he could have stopped him in the sixth, towards the end of the fifth, could have stopped him. Then you kind of see Klitschko kind of, not gassed, but took the foot off the gas a little bit. And you see the condition of Joshua, he came back into it. And then just that uppercut from hell.
Yeah, amazing.
Like the best uppercut you're ever going to see.
Yeah, it was really good. Did you see the photoshopped images going around?
Oh, the giraffe and stuff like that. It's very clever. Mm. Yeah, you can't bait the internet.
Yeah, it's a good fight, so...
But that's good. No UFC last weekend. There's events coming up, like 213 obviously is the big one coming up, fight week.
Don't know who Anderson Silva's fighting yet, do we?
He said if he doesn't get an interim title fight with Yoel Romero, he's retiring.
Mm. It's only like 4 weeks away or something.
Yeah, now whether that's a tactic to get, I don't know whether it's a tactic to call for the UFC to call the UFC's bluff, get him a title shot. I don't know. I wouldn't fancy his chances against Joel Romero.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
I really wouldn't. But and then obviously the big one then July, TJ and Cody. We'll do a proper breakdown of that closer to it because that's an
incredible
one. Yeah. No, we will. I haven't watched any of the toughs yet around. Have you?
No, I kind of want to now because. I've heard good things actually about this one.
Yeah, I'll wait till closer to it. There's a couple of guys in it that were in it previously. Diego Lima, I think, is in it, and Eddie Gordon, who won tough previously. The year Pandred was in it, if you remember. So it's all ex guys, so it's decent. It's a decent enough level, like all guys who would have competed UFC. So I think I'll do a little binge of that closer to the card itself. You know.
Yeah.
So
sounds good.
Hypertrophy, Kieran.
Yeah, hypertrophy. Yeah, I kind of, the article on the website goes into a lot more detail. I just kind of want to go through some of the basics about it, just to give people a bit of a better idea of how they should be maybe structuring their programs each week. how many sets for each body part they probably should be doing,
okay,
how many they shouldn't be doing, and there's a good bit in it as well about maintenance volume, which I think is apt for this time of year when people are going on holidays. People freak out thinking, oh, if I go away for a week and I don't train as hard as I always do, I'm going to lose all my gains. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to list off the minimum volume that people should be doing, which is basically just the amount that you need to do to keep gains without losing any. And it's surprisingly low. So all the sets numbers that I give you is over the week, right? So basically, if you look at how, so going back to hypertrophy, if you look at how the muscle grows, there's two kind of major mechanisms of hypertrophy, and they're kind of like in a little bit of a tug of war with each other, and that's mechanical tension and metabolic stress. So if you've more of one, generally means less of the other. So think of a seesaw. So when you add weight to the bar, you induce more tension.
Yeah.
But you can't do as many reps. So metabolic stress is lower.
Okay.
And when you take weight off the bar, you can cause more metabolic stress, but muscle tension is lower. So if you look at things from that kind of basic idea, you'd expect kind of training to be effective across a pretty broad range. So that's where I'll give you like the conclusion at the end of what I'm talking about will make more sense then. But really rep ranges don't matter a huge amount. It's all about volume.
Okay.
So kind of key points are, like, most of the literature suggests that there's not a huge difference in muscle growth when comparing different rep ranges. So basically, if you're a power builder, you're a bodybuilder, if you look at it like that, in that perspective. And I'd explain that a little bit more later as well. So, and then another key point, you should probably do most of your training in a rep range that allows you to get your required volume per training session and per week for each body part, which we'll go through.
Okay.
So that usually means a moderate intensity and a rep range for most exercises. And most people. So kind of moderate would be your hypertrophy rep range that we're all ingrained in doing, is kind of 8 to 12, 8 to 15 reps.
Yep.
And you're also probably better off training with a full spectrum of rep ranges instead of rigidly staying in a single rep range and a single intensity zone, which is like a mistake I made starting out. I kind of just stick to the same rep ranges for too long instead of change my rep range. So that's actually the way I do my Team Jack programming. If for anyone that's ever done, you know yourself, for anyone that's ever done the programs, there's always like kind of your strength rep ranges for certain mesocycles, then we'll go on to a hypertrophy rep range, and we'll alternate between the two, and the literature suggests that's one of the best ways to go about your training. So then you're kind of asking yourself, right, how many sets should I do, how many reps? If I do less than 8 reps, am I going to turn into a long distance, or am I going to turn into a power lifter? If I do more than 15 reps, am I going to turn into a long distance runner? So there's loads of fads that have kind of come and gone over the years, but rep ranges have always kind of stayed true. People tend to stick to the same rep ranges for whatever goal they're training for. So going to talk about, like, in terms of volume, that's the most important rather than rep ranges. Rep ranges are great, they'll dictate what weight you're going to lift, but the main thing is how often are you doing that over the course of a week, and how many sets are you doing on, say, each muscle group. So your maintenance volume is basically the amount of this is all taken from Mike Uzatel. The maintenance volume is the amount of training, so the number of sets that allows you to maintain your current level of muscular size. So so your maintenance volume would be, say, your holiday program.
Okay.
Say you can't get to the gym every day. This is how many sets of each muscle group you need to do before you start losing gains. Then you have your minimum effective volume. So that's the amount of training that actually grows your muscles. Okay?
Right.
So the amount of training that you need to do that will start to grow your muscles. Then you've got your maximum adaptive volume, and this is where you want to be. That's the range of volumes in which you make your best gains.
Okay.
That's really where you want to be aiming for, is your maximum adaptive volume. And your maximum recoverable volume is the maximum range of volumes in which you can just about recover from, but not necessarily the best idea to work at your MRV, your maximum recoverable volume, for too long, because you're just simply not going to be able to recover enough. So you kind of want to hit that Goldilocks zone, that maximum adaptive volume. So I'm going to give the lit, I'm going to give a set number for each body part on that. So before, like, I start giving up, listing off this, it's recommended weekly volume. So any sets I give, that's over the week. Okay. So that could be anywhere between 2 to 4 times a week you want to train.
All right.
That body,
per body part. Part.
Yeah.
Okay.
For body parts. Yeah. And these guidelines are kind of aimed at intermediate to advanced lifters. So not really for a beginner.
Right.
Because beginners just adapt completely differently. You get your newbie gains. You can do what might take us, our MAV, our maximum adaptive volume might be 12 to 20 sets. The beginner might be 6, and they get savage gains from that, whereas that wouldn't be enough for us.
Yep.
So beginners are a whole other topic. So we're just going to talk about maybe intermediate to advanced lifters.
Right.
So for your, I'm going to give my favorite exercises for each as well. So for your chest, your minimum, your maintenance volume is at least 8 sets of chest work to maintain your gains. So if say you went on a week, so say you went on holidays,
yep,
and you got to go to the gym just once.
8 sets you need to do.
If you did 4 sets of an incline bench and 4 sets of a flat bench at a certain kind of, anywhere between kind of 60 to 75% intensity,
yep,
that's, you're not going to lose any gains over that week. That'll maintain where you are.
Okay.
Then if you want to grow a little bit, your minimum effective volume for your chest, on average, again, all these are on average,
yep,
is at least 10 sets of direct chest work. So that means your bench pressing and flies, anything that directly works the chest.
Anything at all, okay. Dips as well. Dips would be included in that, I suppose.
Dips would be included. More so, I go into dips later on for triceps.
Okay.
Then you've got your Goldilocks spot, your MAV, your maximum adaptive volume. That's anywhere between 12 to 20 sets a week.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's an undertaking, isn't it, for people?
Say that again?
That's a bit of an undertaking, isn't it, for people? 12 to 20 sets a week. Per body part, like.
Yeah, it's not that much when you break it down. Like you're talking about an intermediate to an advanced lifter, so they should be training kind of 4 or 5 days a week anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. I suppose, here's a shameless plug for you, but with Team Jack, you do get that. You get that programmed in for you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I do all this, like, this is all in my programming anyway. So, like, if somebody doesn't want to listen to the rest of this podcast, they can switch off now and go to jacktheteam.com and sign up, and you never need to worry about it. But depending on what mesocycle we're in, our set numbers will always be up in the round between 12 to 20 sets of direct work on our chest.
A week,
and
then
maybe going towards a peak at the end of the mesocycle 2 on the physique program, which was a few weeks ago, we were hitting around 22 sets, which is which should be on average people's maximum recoverable volume. So anywhere from 22 on, you should be finding it a little bit too difficult to recover from in order to train that body part again.
Yeah.
So my favorite exercise for the chest then would be medium grip bench press, so your standard bench press, incline dumbbell bench press, and a flat dumbbell fly. And with the flat dumbbell flies, I like to go overhand.
Yep.
So your thumbs, when you have the dumbbells over your chest, your thumbs are kind of pointing towards each other.
Yep.
And get that nice stretch that way. There's a good video of, I've linked a video to each exercise on the article.
Mm-hmm.
On the website jackteam.com, so check out the article there, and there's a link to each, a YouTube link to each exercise to show you how to do them.
Great.
So that's your MV is 8 sets, your minimal. Your maintenance. Your MEV, your minimum effective volume, is about 10 sets.
The Goldilocks zone.
Yeah, no, that's just to get some sort of gains.
I'm sorry.
To grow your muscles, minimum effective volume, and then your maximum adaptive volume, that's your Goldilocks. Your MAV, that's 12 to 20 sets, and then your M or V, your maximum recoverable volume, is 22 sets.
Cool. And how long would you say, for example, in your maximum recoverable volume, how long of a phase should you spend on that before
burning? Really just as you're peaking, I would say.
Peaking. Oh, like a week, 2 weeks tops.
Yeah, maybe a week.
Then rev it down a little bit.
Yeah, and then like if anybody is trading at their MRV for a sustained period of time, it's just going to lead to, that's where the overtraining thing comes in, and it's going to lead to fatigue, injuries. Yeah, unless they're taking drugs and they can train whenever they want.
Which no one does in the Irish fitness industry.
No, none. Right, back. So try to get through this as quick as you can. Back, your MV, again, is about 8 sets to maintain goals. Your MEV is, again, about 10 sets of direct back work to make gains. Could be even more for some people. Your MAV, your Goldilocks zone, is around 14 to 22 sets. So a couple of extra sets on this compared to your chest. And your M or V on your back, your back can probably take a little bit more volume because the bigger muscle groups is about 25 plus sets. My favorite exercises for the back are an underhand EZ bar bent over row.
Yeah.
Really, really good if you haven't tried them. The EZ bar just takes a little bit of pressure off the wrists in the underhand position. Mm-hmm. And an overhand pull-up, obviously.
Yep.
Can't beat a pull-up. And a one-arm dumbbell row, when done correctly, are an awesome exercise.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Make you sweat like nothing else. Yeah. So that's your back. Going on to biceps, everyone's favorite, especially mine. You'd be very surprised with biceps, because if you think about it, if you've got a good program, a lot of your back work, you've got a lot of back work in it,
you've got a lot of pulls and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So your biceps, if you've got a lot of pulling movements in your program, your biceps are going to get hit as well. So your MV for your biceps is actually only around 4 to 6 sets of direct work to maintain gains. So you could literally, if you were away on holidays and you got to the gym and you just did 4 sets of barbell curls, you're probably not going to lose any size in your arm over that week.
Or if you'd done, like, I suppose, lat pull downs, palms facing you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you're hitting two at one.
Yeah. So again, like, yeah, all these recommendations, you kind of need to take into account. Some exercises are going to be
overlap.
A lot of them are going to be compound exercises, and you're going to hit different muscle groups on each. So when taking that into account in writing your program, your volume, you need to bear in mind, say, a close grip bench is going to hit your chest and your triceps. So you kind of need to pick which exercise you're going to prioritize that for, or which body part. And then later on in the week, when your frequency is going up, you need to take that into account when you're writing the rest of your sets out as well. So as to make sure you're not going overboard and you're not going near your MRV on some of them. So if you look at the article, there's a link on it that goes into that in more detail for anybody that is worried that they're putting either too much or too little in. It'll break down exactly how many sets for each body part you should be putting in, taking into account compound lifts and exercises that use different muscle groups, or multiple muscle groups, should I say. So it's all explained there in the article on the website. I won't go into it now because it's like that's why exercise selection is so important, and it's so important that you don't just throw a load of shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of science that goes into the program, so you kind of need to know what you're talking about. So again, anybody has any issues, just check the website jackteam.com.
And I suppose that's just what you just mentioned there. That's the most difficult part, is exercise selection for beginners. You know, because I know what you said on this, that we'll sort of aim it towards intermediates and advanced lifters, but you know, we're gonna have people who are relatively new to the gym listening.
Yeah.
And I suppose that underlines the importance of, I suppose, initially getting yourself a decent PT, getting yourself a decent app like Team Jacked, that you can learn correctly. Because, you know, we all know, remember when we first started training, walking around And you see these stupid videos on YouTube. And we weren't far off them ourselves when the first time entering the gym, you know?
Yeah. Well, speak for yourself.
Well, we all didn't have a big brother with a gym, did we?
Yeah, no, yeah, I got lucky. Although I did, we were doing box squats one day. Did I talk about this before?
I don't think so.
We were doing box squats one day, and I was only trained about 6 months. And we didn't have the pins in on the rack. And I did 170 for one. And it was grand. And Dave was like, stick 180 on. So I put 180 on. I sat down on the box and my back just caved.
Lovely.
And I fell forward and I basically had to roll 180 kilos over the back of my head.
Oy.
And it pinned me onto the, like, I was obviously sitting down on the box as well, and there were no safety pins in. So nearly took my head off.
Lovely.
That was the stupidest thing I've ever done.
When you're young and stupid.
Yeah. That was bad. That was could have died.
Yeah, so for new trainers, basically,
just stick the pins in, you'll be grand.
Stick the pins in. Don't be stupid. Don't put 170 kilos in your back.
Yeah, it was fun. Looking back, my back was absolutely in bits for a week.
Mangles,
and it took a lot of hair off the back of my neck as well.
Could have ended up in a wheelchair.
A brand new Aleco bar as well, so it was real sharp. Oh, I was miserable.
I said they wanted to kill you.
Well, they had to finish the session there. They were like too freaked out to even keep training. They're like, I'll leave that right there now. That wasn't good. Right.
Sorry for interrupting. Go on, move on. Sorry.
Triceps next. Again, a very low volume needed to have a maintenance. It's only 4 sets of direct work. Because bear in mind, all pushing movements are going to engage your triceps as well. So 4 sets over the course of a week will maintain your triceps where they are if you do direct
That's
work.
That's crazy.
On them. Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it? That's nothing.
Your MEV then is about 6 sets of direct work. Again, not too much considering, because you're talking, if you're doing 8 sets of chest,
yeah,
that's the majority of your tricep work done there anyway.
Yeah,
depending on what exercise you're doing. Obviously, if you're doing flies, you're not going to hit your triceps. But if you're doing a close grip bench, you're going to hit your triceps
you're doing dips,
etc. Yeah. So 6 sets of direct work could be even lower if your program is loads of push and movements. Your Goldilocks range is around 10 to 14 sets. And your MRV is about 18 plus sets.
Over the course of a week, most people are probably hitting MRV for triceps.
You'd be surprised. Like, that'd be direct work. Like, so you wouldn't really be doing...
Oh, okay. So that's just direct. So not.
Yeah, okay. So it could be, say, that would be like adding, say, about, say you take about 8 sets off that 18. You take about 8 sets off of that for your chest. You're not really going to do 10 sets of
kickbacks
at the end of an exercise, at the end of a program. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
So, going back to biceps, my favorite exercise are barbell curls and hammer curls. And my favorite exercise for triceps are the skull crusher, dips. Obviously, dips are great, and I love an old cheeky cable rope push down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep the elbows in, lock them out at the bottom, bring your hands to your pockets.
It's a snaggy one, isn't it?
Ah, they're great. I like them. And then you can alternate them between the rope and the straight bar as well if you want.
Mm-hmm.
There's millions of triceps exercises. That's just three there. Then rear side delts. So shoulders, side shoulders, back of your shoulders. Again, quite low MV here. It's about 6 sets a week. Your MEV then is about 8 sets of direct work to get some sort of gains on them. Your MAV, your Goldilocks zone, is about 16 to 22 sets, which is a lot.
It's a good bit,
Your MRV is 26 plus sets. One of my favorite exercises for rear delts is, and side delts, is a thumbs down lateral raise.
Yeah.
So it's like a normal lateral raise, but you're keeping your thumb pointed down towards the floor, and you're leading with that elbow. You're getting the elbow up nice and high. Cable face pull is a good one, and the standard go to your barbell upright row. I actually prefer using an EZ bar for the upright row.
Yeah, the barbells can be kind of awkward, can't they? Just the size of them.
And especially, like, you don't want your grip to be a hindering factor when it comes to that. So. It's no harm sticking on a pair of pullers and or straps and using them for your upright rows. I use them. They help a lot. Traps are a good one. Thing with traps is, if you want to maintain where your traps are and you're doing compound pulling exercises like heavy deadlifts in your program, You don't need your number there for AMV is zero. You don't need any direct trap work to keep your traps the same size.
Wow.
So like, there's a lot of people that don't do any shrugs and they have massive traps. Look at any Olympic lifters. You rarely ever see an Olympic lifter doing a barbell shrug because there's so many pulling movements in everything they do. And then as well, the second pull then as well, before they pull under the bar, there's a huge amount of shrugging involved in that too. So look, Olympic lifters have the best traps going and they don't do any direct trap work really. Like they wouldn't be doing dumbbell shrugs. Like, and then your MEV, most kind of intermediates can make great trap gains again with no direct trap work. So deadlifting, rowing, side rear delt training, that's all going to be very stimulative of the traps anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Your MAV is about 12 to 20 sets. So that's your Goldilocks zone. If you really want to work on your traps getting as big as possible, 12 to 20 sets. So it's quite a lot. And your MRV is 26 plus sets. Thing with traps is they're going to hit different muscles as well. Like sometimes your biceps might fatigue before your traps will. So you need to bear that in mind as well. If you're doing high rep traps or you're focusing on your traps, trying to get your traps a little bit bigger. I can't do a huge amount of trap work because it fucks my neck up.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's gas. Like I'll wake up and I'm like, yep, did too many sets on traps last week and now I can't turn my head to the right. And then like I'm in school and kids are asking me things, I have to turn my whole body to look at them. It's awful.
Like a robot or
anything. Oh, I look like such a tick.
Not a tumor.
So barbell shrug, obviously your go-to here, dumbbell shrug. And then a little one that I like, I've started doing lately, is a bent over barbell shrug. Not fully bent over, you're only bending over about maybe kind of 20 to 30 degrees.
Okay.
And you're kind of shrugging back and up. So
right.
Squeezing the shoulder blades together at the back and shrug up again. There's a video on the article.
Cool.
Abs. Very similar. To, I don't know. I've never seen mine. Very similar to traps.
In five, wasn't he?
What?
In five, wasn't he?
Yeah. I went to see five in Dandelion before.
Good.
But it was actually three.
Oh, any use?
No, terrible. They were coked up.
Terrible, really?
Yeah. It was a good night though, like, well, because like obviously the tunes and all that. But good L five.
Just play the Megan Wiggins and fuck off.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. No one cares.
No one cares. Abs for most, you don't need any ab training at all to maintain where your abs are, especially if you've got 15% body fat and they're hiding under there anyway. But if you're looking to kind of, if somebody's looking to get into physique or bodybuilding, you kind of, especially with bodybuilding. Well, with bodybuilding, you need to, you have to have a really tiny waist.
Yeah.
So ab work isn't really, it depends, well, you have to be very careful about what ab work you do then, because you don't want your waist to get thicker. If you're going for bodybuilding, you need your waist as small as possible. So, not something I need to worry about. What are you telling me? 1-0?
Yep, Juve Higuain.
Higuain.
Gonzalo Higuain.
Tell you, Juve are basically just a load of La Liga rejects and they're getting to the Champions League final.
Loads of La Liga rejects and loads of Premier League rejects.
Yeah.
Like Cuadrado and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Actually, he's probably their only Premier League player now, I think.
Yeah. Again, abs, zero sets of direct work if you're doing heavy compound lifts in your program, which everyone should be.
Absolutely.
MAV, your Goldilocks is about 16 to 20 sets. So if you're doing abs 3 days a week, you're talking maybe 5 sets a week at the end if you wanted to really get them to grow. And your MRV is about 25 plus sets. Favorite exercise, a hanging knee raise, V-ups. And I like the machine crunches. Don't hate on the ab machine.
No, I like the rollouts with the dumbbell or with the barbell.
I find I kind of take over with my triceps a bit too much on that, or my lats. Don't hate the machine crunch.
Listen, I'm the least likely man to do ab work, bar my compound lifts, because there's six packing already, haven't I?
Yeah, no, I mean.
Next.
Glutes.
Yes.
That ass.
I have a beautiful one going.
Again, with glutes and most, in pretty much every case, if you're doing squats and other quad work, that's kind of more than enough to maintain your glutes, especially if you're doing lunges and things like that. You really don't need to do a whole lot to keep them. So if you're on holidays and you're doing squats, don't be worrying about doing like hip thrusters or any of that shite. You don't need to, your glutes will be fine. Minimal effective volume, again, for most individuals is actually 0 sets per week if you want your glutes to start growing. But remember, that's kind of sets of direct work. So what that means is that kind of most people will get some glute growth, even in the long term, from not training glutes at all directly, but training your quads and your hamstrings. So they'll engage the glutes enough. MAV is about 4 to 12 sets if you really want to work on growing them as much as you can. MRV is about 16 plus sets. Favorite exercise for these is your barbell walk and lunge. I also like back extensions. Glute ham raises as well are really good, but glute hams are really tough on the hamstrings, and a lot of people can't do them properly. So your walk and lunge is probably your best bet. Quads. About 6 sets a week will be the minimum for your quad. So if you're on holidays that and you're training twice, that's literally just 3 sets of working sets of deep squats. That's all. That's all you need to keep your quads as big as they are before you went
Sure.
away. If you start doing leg presses or leg extensions to conserve your gains, your minimum set numbers will need to be higher. So if you're just doing leg presses or leg extensions, you might need to pump that up to about 8 sets a week, I would say. And then your MEV then is about 8 sets a week. That's of direct work. So if you want your quads to get a little bit bigger, that's on average squatting twice a week for 4 sets. Your Goldilocks zone is 12 to 18 sets. So that's on average if you're doing quads twice a week, it's 6 sets on each. Not including leg presses or leg extensions,
Nothing else, no.
just pure squats, yeah, which is easily done.
Absolutely.
And your MRV is 20 plus sets. We've all been there. You can't walk, you can't go down the stairs. It's horrible. Best exercise for your quads is a high bar back squat,
High bar back squat, yep.
or as I like to call it, a
The
squat.
exercises.
But as power lifters with their low bar and stuff, that's not going to hit your quads as much. Front
No.
squats. And leg presses, then to an extent as well.
Awesome.
Hamstrings, we're getting through these now, we're nearly there. Hamstrings are a good one. You can really keep your gains in your hamstrings quite easily but you need to go heavy. So about 4 hard and heavy sets per week will maintain where you are, and then about 6 sets of direct work will start to grow them. And then if you want to get them, your hamstrings as big as you can, 10 to 16 sets.
Per week, awesome.
Yeah, MRV is 20 sets.
Sweet.
Best exercise I find for them is your stiff-legged deadlift, so your Romanian deadlift. Low
Yep.
bar good mornings are good. Lying leg curls are good as well. Again, glute ham raises, back extensions, all of that is going to really destroy your hamstrings when done properly.
Yeah, with lion leg curls, would you isolate each leg, or would you prefer two legs together, or does it really matter? Mix it up.
Yeah, mix it up. Like this week we're doing single leg curls.
Single zone.
Last week we were doing lying leg curls. So I'll generally try change that up a little bit, but more so the most important thing on that is your tempo, especially with the leg curl, that you're controlling the tempo the whole way down, because your hamstrings, like your biceps, like any flexion, they start to get stronger towards the bottom,
The
but they're
bottom part
weaker.
of
Yeah,
the
but they're
center,
weaker
basically.
at the top. So as your heels are kicked up to your bum, you want that tempo to be controlled the whole way down, rather than letting it drop halfway and then doing the
Catching
four,
it.
yeah, catching it and then doing the 4 seconds eccentric just at the bottom half. You want to keep it nice and smooth the whole way down.
Oh, cool.
Calves, 6 sets of direct work will maintain your calves. 8 sets of direct work will make gains. 12 to 16 sets if you want to make your best gains. 20 plus sets, it might be a little bit too much. You won't be able to walk. Calves on a leg press, calves on a calf machine. Calves are standard enough, anything with straight leg is going to get your gastroc. Anything with a bent knee is going to get your soleus a little bit more.
Great.
That's it in terms of like how many sets and stuff you should be doing. Again, if you click on the link in the article, it'll bring you to the my article will bring you to the original article, which goes into a lot more detail about all of that. It goes into how many times a week you should be training each body part. It even gives you a little sample program on how to use them as well. It's really, really good. It's on the Renaissance periodization website. And so the link is there on the article that I've put up.
Awesome.
So what does all this mean, Graham?
Yeah, Kieran, what does it all mean?
What does it all mean?
Tell us, Chris.
Well, going back to this other article from the Strength Theory website, there's a really good article on there from Greg Knuckles. Basically, he's kind of gone through, I was reading through some of the studies on it, and he's broken them down into kind of some easy takeaway points. So I'm just going to plagiarize them from him. So from a size point of view, which is what we're talking about hypertrophy, sets must be high effort to recruit and fatigue all fibers. So basically, don't go through the motions. You're not going into the gym. Like, there's no point saying, oh, I've done my 12 sets on my quads this week. Why aren't they growing? But it's like, well, okay, well, how hard were you training for those 12 sets?
Yep.
How many reps from failure were you going to? Did you have loads more in the tank? Were you not working hard enough? So
how was your form?
Yeah, technique, obviously, as well. Yep. So there's no exact kind of threshold for the effort needed to stimulate hypertrophy. Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of people who experience kind of considerable muscle growth, having never even gone to failure. But generally, it's probably necessary to push within a few reps of failure. That's according to Greg Knuckles. And if you look at the Team Jacked physique program that we're just finishing up,
yep.
Week one of each mesocycle will be 3 reps from failure. Week 2 of each mesocycle then is 3 reps from failure. Week 3 of each mesocycle goes down to 2 reps from failure. Week 4 of each mesocycle goes to 1 rep from failure. So we don't actually go to full failure in the physique program, but we're going from 3 to 1 rep from failure. And that, all the literature has shown that to be the best way of getting as much muscle growth as you can.
Awesome.
Rep ranges, for the most part, do not matter for hypertrophy. So, especially in trained lifters, so as long as the effort per set is equal. So muscle seems to kind of grow the same whether you lift 3 reps to failure or 100 reps to failure. It just remains to be seen whether muscle grows the same with something like, say, 70% effort matched between groups rather than lifting to failure. But they probably would. Then strength increases are highly specific to the rep ranges used. So, for instance, if you want to get better at 1 rep maxes, you need to lift loads that are close to that. If you want to get better at high reps, you need to lift lighter loads and do higher reps. It's like
common sense.
Common sense, yeah. So you're likely to get better at both by doing both rep ranges. So that's why it's so important to mix it up. Think of the strength increases as kind of studying specific material for an exam. Say you're thinking, right, I want to get better at high reps and I want to get stronger. So let's get stronger first and then I can carry that new strength
across to the rep range.
Across into the higher rep range, yeah.
Yep.
And then the last kind of takeaway is doing more sets or volume gives you more results, which is...
Again, common sense.
Yeah. That's where the whole progressive...
You want to get stronger, train more.
Yeah, and progress. That's why it's so important to make sure you're progressing each week. You're either lifting a little bit more, or you're lifting a little bit heavier, or you're doing more reps, or you're going closer to failure this week than you were last week.
Yeah, and again, look at getting another shameless plug to Team Jack, and the only reason I plug it is because I use it and because I believe in it and how good it is. But that's the beauty of Team Jack and the model that you have is that you're given obviously the rep ranges and you're given the programs, but you're tracking your own levels of strength. So from week 1 to week 4 of a mesocycle, you'll see where you were at week 1. And human nature being as it is, you click on that history button, you say, right, I benched 70 kilos for 8 reps last week, bump it up, let's try 72 and a half, let's try 75.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's that, and that's that. That'll give you that sort of competitiveness within yourself, and that's why it's all. That's what look at. If you're not using Team Jacked, download Team Jacked.
Talking then between the kind of bodybuilders and powerlifters are always a really good one to talk about, because people see the difference between a bodybuilder and a powerlifter. So why is there a strength and size difference between them, between strength athletes, say, and bodybuilders? And going back to that point earlier, the answer is basically that they're both of them have a strength, but they lie in different rep ranges. So yep. Strength athletes generally include heavier rep ranges, and bodybuilders stay in a less injury prone rep range. So, but in saying that, most bodybuilders do compete very successfully in powerlifting by adding in heavier work. So bodybuilders are better at doing higher reps because that's the way they train. Powerlifters yep. are stronger at doing lower reps because that's the way they train. But yep. if you look at the size difference between the two, there's not actually a huge difference, I don't think, between bodybuilders and powerlifters, because at similar levels, so say a similar weight class, the main difference is levels of body fat.
Yeah.
But in terms of actual muscle, okay. there's not a huge difference. So it's just an illusion caused by different levels of body fat and the focus on muscles that enhances aesthetics versus muscles that enhance strength. So muscles that both groups work hard, like your legs, your back, your chest, they're all around similar size. If you look at a powerlifter, you'll probably have every bit as big a chest and back and quads as a bodybuilder. It's just the bodybuilders may focus on kind of the smaller, more aesthetic muscle groups to make them look better on stage. Mm-hmm. But your meat and potatoes between the two are usually around the same size. I see it all the time in my gym, because there's a lot of powerlifters and there's a lot of bodybuilders, and powerlifters are big lads. They're just carrying that little bit of extra body fat because they don't really give a shit about how they look on stage.
Just want to hit the high numbers.
Yeah, but they've got their chest, their back, and their legs, and their ass. Probably their ass is even bigger, but their chest, back, and legs are every bit as big as the bodybuilders, and they're working generally with much lower rep ranges. So that's where hypertrophy comes in. It's all about volume rather than what rep range you're hitting.
Yep.
So just a little takeaway then. So kind of looking at the history of strength and physique sports, there's a million different ways of training, and they can all be seen to be successful. So there's a million different programs out there, and they can all work. But the most successful ones just follow the same kind of basic rules that we've kind of spoken about. So keep your effort high, work hard, keep your number of sets high, keep your volume up, and tailor your rep ranges to your goals or whatever keeps you motivated, and progress shouldn't be a problem. So if you're the type of person and you think, oh, I hate squatting for 12 reps, I can't do it, it's too many reps, I get sick, I love squatting 3 to 5 reps. Squat 3 to 5 reps and adjust your volume for the week then. Adjust your set numbers and do what you need to do to get that volume in. And your quads will be every bit as big as they would be if you trained with 12 reps on a lighter weight.
Yep.
That's the takeaway. That's the thing people need to understand, is it's volume. That is the most important thing. Not rep ranges.
Awesome.
That's all I got for you.
Awesome. Kieran, that was excellent. Thank you very much. So basically, guys, get on to Jacked Team and have a look at the article on the vlog, on the blog. We'll throw a link up on our Instagram page. Any feedback you want to give us, much appreciated as always. Anything you'd like us to discuss, really, really appreciated. Kieran's doing a bit of cardboard box dancing here. On the video in front of me.
Like the headset.
It's great, yeah. You look like a little gamer.
I found him in the press.
No way.
Yeah.
What's the audio looking like? Well, we'll find out when it goes live.
It's good.
Hey.
Yeah. That's like me tan.
Yeah.
I'm fucking black.
Yeah, really.
It's 40 degrees in Dubai. You never asked me how I got on.
How'd you get on?
It's good, yeah.
That's great, yeah. Anyway, so thanks for listening, guys. We will be back again soon.
Are we wrapping it up? I was only getting into the swing of it.
No, we're wrapping it up.
All right, fair enough.
We bored people for about an hour there. So listen, thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll catch you again soon.
Hit us up, Instagram, Twitter. Check us out. We're very funny.
We are very funny. Yeah. I think I won today.
You did. You didn't win. Like, you said stupid shit.
My plagiarizing thing.
Yeah, but like, do you know what I mean? These are doctors. Why would I want to write it?
Do you know what I mean?
Break it down for people. Put it in layman's terms.
Anyway, let's let people
go. You that are
let's let the people go.
I can't read a study.
Do it for us and tell us the answers.
Yeah, I don't like reading them either. They're boring. I just like reading the conclusions.
Cool. Right, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye.